This recording accompanies the Language B Standard Level Examination, Paper 2, Listening Comprehension, for English, November 2020.
Cet enregistrement accompagne l'examen de langue B, niveau moyen, épreuve 2, compréhension orale d'anglais, novembre 2020.
Esta grabación acompaña el examen de lengua B, nivel medio, prueba 2, comprensión auditiva de inglés, noviembre 2020.
The start and end of each audio text will be indicated by this sound.
Le début et la fin de chaque texte audio seront indiqués par ce son.
El inicio y el final de cada texto de audio se indicarán con este sonido.
The end of the examination will be indicated by this sound.
La fin de l'examen sera indiquée par ce son.
El final del examen se indicará con este sonido.
Text A. You now have 4 minutes to read the questions.
You are going to hear a radio show host and his guest discuss celebrity status. The radio show host is Dave, and his guest is Emily.
G'day, listeners. Welcome to Dave's Discussions. What do we think about celebrity status? To discuss this with me is today's guest, Emily Wood, who writes for a celebrity magazine.
It's great to be here.
Emily, let me jump straight in. It's too easy to become a celebrity today.
I agree, but many are celebrities for only a short time.
That is true. But while they are celebrities, they earn far too much money.
Well, being a celebrity means you don't really have a private life anymore, so I'm okay with that.
In that case, they should be more careful about how they behave all the time. Celebrities are role models after all.
That seems unfair. Celebrities are just people, so they will sometimes do the wrong thing.
And that is a problem, because their influence is growing and growing.
I don't think it's a problem, but you're right that celebrities' influence is increasing.
Okay, time for a quick break. So, back to celebrities. Is there anything you're worried about?
Advertising. Did you know that 80% of car adverts feature celebrities, as well as 71% of sugary drinks adverts and 81% of adverts for fast food?
I didn't know, but that sounds about right.
Right, and I worry especially about the adverts for sugary drinks.
Because of weight gain and damage to teeth?
No, because sugar has a negative impact on the developing brains of younger people.
That is shocking.
And most of these adverts use sports stars, who are far more popular among teenagers than celebrities such as pop stars and reality TV stars.
What do you think we can do about this?
Something needs to change. I want them to think more about using their influence in a positive way.
Well, lots more to talk about, but I'm afraid we're out of time. Thank you very much, Emily.
You're welcome.
You now have 2 minutes before you hear the recording for a second and final time.
G'day, listeners. Welcome to Dave's Discussions. What do we think about celebrity status? To discuss this with me is today's guest, Emily Wood, who writes for a celebrity magazine.
It's great to be here.
Emily, let me jump straight in. It's too easy to become a celebrity today.
I agree, but many are celebrities for only a short time.
That is true. But while they are celebrities, they earn far too much money.
Well, being a celebrity means you don't really have a private life anymore, so I'm okay with that.
In that case, they should be more careful about how they behave all the time. Celebrities are role models after all.
That seems unfair. Celebrities are just people, so they will sometimes do the wrong thing.
And that is a problem, because their influence is growing and growing.
I don't think it's a problem, but you're right that celebrities' influence is increasing.
Okay, time for a quick break. So, back to celebrities. Is there anything you're worried about?
Advertising. Did you know that 80% of car adverts feature celebrities, as well as 71% of sugary drinks adverts and 81% of adverts for fast food?
I didn't know, but that sounds about right.
Right, and I worry especially about the adverts for sugary drinks.
Because of weight gain and damage to teeth?
No, because sugar has a negative impact on the developing brains of younger people.
That is shocking.
And most of these adverts use sports stars, who are far more popular among teenagers than celebrities such as pop stars and reality TV stars.
What do you think we can do about this?
Something needs to change. I want them to think more about using their influence in a positive way.
Well, lots more to talk about, but I'm afraid we're out of time. Thank you very much, Emily.
You're welcome.
You now have 2 minutes to finish answering the questions. Text B. You now have 4 minutes to read the questions.
You are going to hear a vlogger, Samantha, talking about improving her health and life.
Hi guys, my name is Samantha and today I wanted to share with you my story about mental and physical health. Okay, so during my teens I was always healthy and fun-loving, and right after I finished college I was lucky enough to get a job, a really good one. But then it seemed like I was just constantly at work, and by the weekend I had no energy for anything. This went on, and before I knew it, I had started to gain weight and I struggled with depression. I knew I needed help, not particularly to lose weight, but some kind of reassurance. So finally, I walked into a gym and I said, I need help. Luckily, I met Anna there. She's a fantastic personal trainer. I'll tell you about how she changed my life, but first, here are some pictures of me from a month ago. Take a look. So, what do you think? Here's what I did to achieve this. First, we focused on cardio work. Now that was tough. Anna pushed me to my limit every day. But then we moved on to muscle work, and that was different. Anna said I had to train, but the following day, I should wake up feeling good. Otherwise, exercise becomes associated with pain, you know? The trick is, do a little every day rather than too much, and then stop for a few days to recover. Honestly, I wasn't sure this would work, but it did. Another great thing about Anna's program was that she made me want to work out. Anna got me to keep a journal about how I felt at the beginning, middle, and the end of each workout. She asked me to focus on my feelings during those three phases, and the result was amazing. My life is a lot better now, and I feel better at work. The month is over, and I still exercise every day. I don't need a trainer to motivate me, and I'm proud of my story. Anyway, I hope you guys find my story helpful. Leave a comment below and see you in my next video.
You now have 2 minutes before you hear the recording for a second and final time.
guys. My name is Samantha, and today I wanted to share with you my story about mental and physical health. Okay, so during my teens, I was always healthy and fun-loving. And right after I finished college, I was lucky enough to get a job, a really good one. But then it seemed like I was just constantly at work, and by the weekend, I had no energy for anything. This went on, and before I knew it, I had started to gain weight and I struggled with depression. I knew I needed help, not particularly to lose weight, but some kind of reassurance. So finally, I walked into a gym and I said, I need help. Luckily, I met Anna there. She's a fantastic personal trainer. I'll tell you about how she changed my life, but first, here are some pictures of me from a month ago. Take a look. So, what do you think? Here's what I did to achieve this. First, we focused on cardio work. Now that was tough. Anna pushed me to my limit every day. But then we moved on to muscle work, and that was different. Anna said I had to train, but the following day, I should wake up feeling good. Otherwise, exercise becomes associated with pain, you know? The trick is, do a little every day rather than too much, and then stop for a few days to recover. Honestly, I wasn't sure this would work, but it did. Another great thing about Anna's program was that she made me want to work out. Anna got me to keep a journal about how I felt at the beginning, middle, and the end of each workout. She asked me to focus on my feelings during those three phases, and the result was amazing. My life is a lot better now, and I feel better at work. The month is over, and I still exercise every day. I don't need a trainer to motivate me, and I'm proud of my story. Anyway, I hope you guys find my story helpful. Leave a comment below and see you in my next video.
You now have 2 minutes to finish answering the questions. Text C. You now have 4 minutes to read the questions.
You are going to hear a guided discussion in class about tall buildings in big cities.
So today we will continue our class discussion about tall buildings in big cities. All right, so we will have Michael and Sandra. Michael, what do you think?
Have a look at these pictures of some popular cities. These cities are recognised as modern and beautiful, and this, I believe, is because of their skyline.
Oh, you certainly have a point, Michael. Tall buildings do make modern cities look amazing. But cities where height is restricted look great too. Take Washington, D.C., for example. Buildings there can't be taller than 90 feet, but it's a fantastic city visited by millions of tourists.
You're right about that. Those places are enjoyable to visit, but they would be uninteresting places to live.
I disagree. That is all a matter of personal taste. Also, going back to those cities with tall buildings, think about the cost of living. Houses and apartments are very expensive there.
That is true for now. But guess what? Unlike cities where height is restricted, there is potential for more housing in cities with tall buildings. This means that in the future, housing is likely to be more affordable there.
Perhaps, but I think that city living will actually become less popular in the future. So this potential won't matter anyway.
I doubt that. Cities will always draw people in.
Thank you both. A lot of interesting points. So, class, do you have any questions so far? Thank you for the questions. Now, Sandra, what do you think of the impact of tall buildings on the environment?
Well, tall buildings make cities really hot. Did you know that in some places, the surface temperatures in the city exceed temperatures in the desert in the same region? Why? The heat gets trapped in the narrow spaces between the city's tall buildings. And excessive heat, as we know, contributes to climate change.
Oh, but nowadays, most tall buildings are designed to allow more ventilation and better use of energy. Other eco-friendly features are also used in some buildings now, like vertical farms. The plants that grow in these vertical farms produce oxygen, and at the same time, they are helping to solve the increasing food shortage problem by providing fresh produce.
That may be, but still, think about all those air conditioners during the summer and the amount of energy that is wasted because of them. Overall, I think that tall buildings are not the answer to our environmental problems.
Thank you, Sandra and Michael. That's all we have time for today.
You now have 2 minutes before you hear the recording for a second and final time.
So today we will continue our class discussion about tall buildings in big cities. All right, so we will have Michael and Sandra. Michael, what do you think?
Have a look at these pictures of some popular cities. These cities are recognised as modern and beautiful, and this, I believe, is because of their skyline.
Oh, you certainly have a point, Michael. Tall buildings do make modern cities look amazing. But cities where height is restricted look great too. Take Washington, D.C., for example. Buildings there can't be taller than 90 feet, but it's a fantastic city visited by millions of tourists.
You're right about that. Those places are enjoyable to visit, but they would be uninteresting places to live.
I disagree. That is all a matter of personal taste. Also, going back to those cities with tall buildings, think about the cost of living. Houses and apartments are very expensive there.
That is true for now. But guess what? Unlike cities where height is restricted, there is potential for more housing in cities with tall buildings. This means that in the future, housing is likely to be more affordable there.
Perhaps, but I think that city living will actually become less popular in the future. So this potential won't matter anyway.
I doubt that. Cities will always draw people in.
Thank you both. A lot of interesting points. So, class, do you have any questions so far? Thank you for the questions. Now, Sandra, what do you think of the impact of tall buildings on the environment?
Well, tall buildings make cities really hot. Did you know that in some places, the surface temperatures in the city exceed temperatures in the desert in the same region? Why? The heat gets trapped in the narrow spaces between the city's tall buildings. And excessive heat, as we know, contributes to climate change.
Oh, but nowadays, most tall buildings are designed to allow more ventilation and better use of energy. Other eco-friendly features are also used in some buildings now, like vertical farms. The plants that grow in these vertical farms produce oxygen, and at the same time, they are helping to solve the increasing food shortage problem by providing fresh produce.
That may be, but still, think about all those air conditioners during the summer and the amount of energy that is wasted because of them. Overall, I think that tall buildings are not the answer to our environmental problems.
Thank you, Sandra and Michael. That's all we have time for today.
You now have the rest of the time to finish answering the questions.